the message. We're starting a new series, and today we're going to be starting a series called Foundations, Family, Church, and Government. And we're going to be talking about these three foundations and what is going on with them and what's going on in our country and around the world with these. We're going to do a semi of a deep dive into each one of these. But today is kind of an intro. I want to talk about just foundations and why they're important and talk about the ultimate foundation here, which is Jesus. So let's dive in here. So first is this, what's a foundation? Have you ever asked yourself that? What's a foundation? Many, I think all of you in here are pretty smart. I look across the room, some of you are builders, but all of you are intelligent, beautiful, smart people in here. Here's what a foundation is. A foundation is an underlying basis or principle. It's also defined as the action of an establishing an institution or organization on a permanent basis, especially with an endowment. And in Latin, which we get our word foundation, it comes from the Latin, which means to lay a base for. And so that's what the technical definition of a foundation is. Now, we also know a foundation is also the bricks and mortar, right? The foundation is building the blocks that sit upon our foundation here the church is built upon. But a foundation, I want to highlight in the base, is to lay a base for. A foundation, it does something, but what does it do? How many of you are thankful you have a strong foundation at your house, right? How many of you are thankful we have a strong foundation in this building, right? We're not sinking, right? I just saw a picture this week when I was looking at foundations. I don't know if you've seen out in Portland, east of Portland, there's been some heavy rains, and there was a new neighborhood development being built. And you can see these brand new houses. Some of them are unfinished. You know, they got the scaffolding up and all that. And the road going into the new development, it's all like caved in. It's gone. And they can't get into this new development because the foundation of the road was washed away. And so the foundations are important. The foundation of any organization determines its future and where does it go. And for us, Jesus gave us the family, the church, and the government for the foundation of this world to go forward and how will this world operate. But what do foundations give? What do they give? A lot of times we see foundations, I mean, they're just buried in the ground 3 feet under, right? How many of you went out to, you know, in the last week and said, oh, I'm thankful for my foundation, or did you go out and look at your foundation? The answer would be no. We just assume it's there and it gives us something. Well, what does it do? I want to give us these three things before we dive into scripture here. It's that foundations give stability to build upon. Foundations give us strength to withstand the storms. As we know, Jesus said, the house built on the sand was washed away, but the house on the rock stayed firm, held fast in the storm. And then lastly, foundations give a structure to operate. We know the foundation, it allows the right building to be built or the right structure to be built to be able to operate, to have a business, to do some type of purpose. And in these next weeks, as we go through this series, we're going to talk about in each of these areas, the family, the church, and the government, how the foundations of church, family, government gives us stability and strength and structure. And what do these look like today? I think if, you know, it's not a new revelation, but how many of us know today that the family, the church, and the government are being destroyed? They're ruthlessly being attacked. And I would humbly submit to us, today's attacks that are seen are not just necessarily, different opinion or different political. I think it's an outright attack of the evil one, of Satan, demonic at everything. That everything's being attacked, and it's coming from both sides of the aisle, in the middle, everybody. So this isn't a we're going to bash one political party. It's I think the enemy's like, all right, he's put everybody in because he knows Jesus. He's getting the horse ready. He's saying, all right, I'm coming back, and so that's why I want to come to us today and talk to us over these next few weeks about the foundations, because Scripture talks about the foundations will be tested. Everything will be tested. God will test everything with fire, and the enemy wants to come rob and kill and lie and deceive and kill us all. And he's going to shake and push on every foundation that God has given to his people. And so that's what I'm going to come to you. And for this series, here's our main verse. And I would encourage you, read it to your kids, memorize it. If you don't know this, commit it to memory. Put it up on your mirror, put it on your iPhone, make it a your computer desktop wallpaper. Do this Psalms 18, verses 1 and 2. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God. My rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Church, we could just preach a whole series on that verse alone. But church, that is a great promise that has been from the beginning until now and forever will be. And I would encourage you, learn this verse. And this is going to be our foundational verse for this series, is that the Lord is our strength, our rock, our stronghold. And if we're on this rock, and how many of you are on that rock today, we cannot be shaken today. No matter what comes in our family, our church, our government, we're secure in Jesus alone. All these foundations are going to be tested. Now, up here in front of me, I have Jenga. How many of you have played Jenga before? All right, some of you, okay. How many of you ever built blocks? I know you're kids, you built blocks, and you try to, you know, knock them over, see the strongest. I remember building a strong tower. I remember building Lego towers with my brother. We'd see how far we could build them up and get them high. But what happened? The foundation, we didn't have a good foundation. We would build them on sand, or we'd build them on the couch, and of course, somebody would sit on the couch, and the whole thing would topple over. The foundation wasn't strong. And I want to talk to you today about the cornerstone today. About the cornerstone. And so with the cornerstone, what was established by the cornerstone? The cornerstone, which is Jesus. The first is this. Our three foundations that were established by the cornerstone, which is Jesus, was this the family. And I would submit to us that the family it was given for relationships. Now, today was just going to be a kind of an overarching view. And each of the next weeks to come, we're going to deep dive into family, deep dive into the church, and deep dive into the government. But today is kind of an overarching kind of review. And in these scriptures here, Genesis 2:8, "For then the Lord said, it is not good for that man should be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Psalm 68:6, "God sets the lonely in families." Psalms 104:41, "But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks." God knew when we're facing difficulty, he helps our families out. Jeremiah 31:1, "At that time, declares the Lord, I will be God of all the families of Israel, and they will be my people." God's God, our Father. We're in the family of God. Families were meant for relationships. In Matthew 1:23, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. We are God's children. He is with us. Families were given. God gave the family, created the family for relationships. All right? And we're going to go into all these verses and more in these weeks to come. So that's the first thing. Families were given. The first foundation was given for relationships. Secondly, I would submit to us that this is that the church was given for proclamation. Was given for proclamation. Let's look at some of these verses here. They won't be on your screen here. Let me get to it here. Matthew 28:19. "Go and therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." The church was designed to go out and take the good news, right, guys? Right? Amen to that one. We're supposed to go out. We're not supposed to sit here. The church was supposed to go out with the message. Look at Acts 1:8. Everyone, I think, knows this one. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth." The church was supposed to go out and proclaim the good news. Let's keep going on here. 1 Corinthians 5:19-21. It says, that is, "In Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ," or God's ambassadors, your translation might say. "God is making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Church, are you hearing the theme? The church goes out. God gave the institution of the church to go out and proclaim. And that was the second foundation he gave to the world and to creation, was the church. And then in Ephesians 3:10, Paul writes, he says, "So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places." All these verses have the active ingredient of sending, of going, of proclaiming something. That is what the second foundation, I would submit to you humbly, is about. Of course, we know there's more things about it. We're to proclaim grace and truth and love. But if you look at it at a holistic scale, at a 30,000-foot level, the church was designed to go and proclaim the good news of our Savior Jesus. Thirdly is this, is the government was given for protection. The government was given for protection, not the church. How often during the centuries when the church tries to fill the role of the government or protect and hold the sword, what happens? Turns out bad for history. We get dictators, spiritual abuse, spiritual manipulations, but the government was designed for protection and law enforcement. God gave that. In Romans chapter 13 here, verses 1 through 7, just read it here briefly. It says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authorities is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes. Oh boy, don't you just love Scripture? It just gets right to us. This is why we pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. And we're going to deep dive into all these passages each week here. But God established the government. Whenever you hear a Christian says, well, the government, you know, should be abolished and we should just be free people, you say, no, if you're a believer, God says he established that. And it's by his decree and divine order of that. So we'll dive into that. But the government was there for our protection. And it should protect us, not oppress us. And we'll dive into that here in the weeks to come. But here's today what I want to focus on is the cornerstone. The cornerstone. Our main foundation we have to start with is Jesus. Scripture is very clear. God didn't create the family, and the family is what we worship. God didn't create the church, and the church is what we worship. He didn't create the government, and the government is what we worship. Jesus said, you worship me. I am the cornerstone alone. And these verses here, we're going to go through some of these here. And you can take, I encourage you, take them home, take pictures. This is also on our website every week with the audio, and you can go back and download the slides and go through these. But I want to just talk to us here. Isaiah 28:14-17. We're going to let Scripture do the preaching here. It says, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers. It says, Isaiah writing to the rulers in Jerusalem, you who rule this people in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with Sheol. We have an argument. When the overwhelming whip passes through it, it will not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and in falsehood we have taken shelter. Isaiah is talking to the people of Israel, the leaders, the pastors, that in essence we're going to follow Yahweh, and they made a deal with the devil, as we say, that colloquialism. And they're like, man, we've made our bed, and we're going to go over here and thieve and connive, and God's not going to judge us because we're so smart, and we've made the deal with the devil. Well, God the Father says, uh-uh. And let's keep reading on here in Isaiah. He says, 16 says, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am the one who has laid a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. And I will make justice the line and the righteousness the plumb line. And hail will sweep away the refuge of lies and the waters will overwhelm the shelter. Isaiah in here, if he goes on and talks about saying that and this is alluding to the Messiah, that this was Jesus, that God had a firm foundation that no one could escape. As Paul writes in Romans, that creation is without an excuse. God is saying here to his people, you are without excuse. I am the justice and the plumb line, and I have set a foundation in my laws and in the Messiah to come in my son. Look at Psalms 118 here. 118:21-23. The psalmist writes, I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the psalm that Jesus quotes when he's before the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. He quotes this verse many times through the gospel. And Peter and John, they do too. In Acts 4:11, they say, they're before the governing body of Israel, and they say, this is Jesus, the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. 1 Peter 1 verses 19 through 21, it says this. Peter writes, he says, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. For through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. The scriptures throughout all the New Testament, Old Testament, declare and show that Jesus is the foundation, the cornerstone. All the Old Testament what leads up to the Messiah, and the New Testament leads to what the Messiah's come back, his return and his victory, that no one can escape him, that he is the foundation. He's the one that upholds all the structures of this world. Look at Timothy 2:19 here. And this is where we're going to end here today, do you have the cornerstone in your life? As I look around this room today, many of you are believers, and a lot of this, you're familiar with this. You know this, Jesus, you'd probably raise your hand. Yeah, Pastor Dan, man, Jesus is my cornerstone. He's my life. He's my solid foundation. But I want to ask you today, is he? Make sure. Everything's being shaken, church. There's a lot of things going on. And the enemy would love to get any one of us. Many of you, I look around this room, are strong, you're faithful, you're true. But make sure, as King David said, do we search our hearts? Make sure, God, are you my cornerstone today? In 2 Timothy 2:19, it says, but God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. If Jesus is your cornerstone, if he's your strong foundation, just I want to encourage you today, as a friend, as a fellow believer, as a pastor, as your brother in Christ, man, leave the past behind, leave the sin behind, and stand on the solid rock of Jesus today. Make sure you're following him. Make sure you're not following me. You're not following Crosspoint. Make sure you're following his holy word and his scriptures. Make sure you are sold out to the Spirit and you're following him today. Because God, as it says, his firm foundation stands from the foundations of the world until now and forever may it be. And everything will be judged upon this cornerstone, which is Jesus. In John 3, 14 through 18, it's a familiar passage. Many of us, we've learned this when we were kids. It says, and as Moses was lifted up, the servant in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Now, for some of us, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, man, that's heavy words. Christ is that cornerstone, that heavy stone. He's the one that upgirds and holds everything. And I pray today that all of us know Jesus, but I just want to put this out here. As we get into our series and as we do a deep dive in the weeks to come of each of these, who here today needs the sure, strong, and eternal foundation of Jesus Christ? Because without Jesus, everything else is going to fall apart. And we've seen it in the church. We've seen that when churches take out Jesus out of the church, which is crazy, that we're seeing churches drop like flies. We're seeing our government fall, governments around the world. We're seeing the families fall when Jesus is taken out or when Jesus is not even the center. And as you know with playing Jenga, what happens when we take out one little block of Jenga? What happens? Right? How many of you, I remember playing with kids and Kids Point, you know, every kid, you know, you try to get the right strategy. But if we know if we take the cornerstone out, what happens? Let me get this guy out of here. Things start happening. When this is shaken, when things start shaking, what happens? It starts shaking and things start happening and it all comes apart when everything is shaken. When the main cornerstone is taken out, things break down and things get scattered and we end up with pieces and stones everywhere. And what happens? The building has to be rebuilt. Money and time. And how many of you have seen lives broken and scattered and in bondage and chains to sin and darkness because they've taken Jesus, they've taken the main cornerstone and they've just said, I'm good and I'm going to go live my life. How many times we've seen in our own government, our American government, we've said, yep, God, you're good, whatever, we don't need you. The church, we've said, we're not going to preach the whole word. We're not going to preach Jesus crucified, that Jesus is the only way. We're going to preach that he's a good guy. He's a good, nice guy. And we've thrown Jesus out. How many of our families we've done this? We've seen families take Jesus and just throw him out. And what happens? Everything disintegrates. It gets into chaos. Today, church, I want to remind us, encourage us today, that our foundation has to start with Jesus. And to have a healthy family and a healthy church and a healthy government, Jesus has to be the cornerstone. Scripture is clear. There is no other. Jesus was, as John says, but he was, the Word was in the beginning, right? And he's currently here, and he's also in the future. The foundation is only Jesus. And as a church for us today, we have to remember our foundation at Crosspoint is not a great building. It's not Pastor Dan. It's not that this church has been here for 50 years. Oh, I mean, that's great. Yeah, thankful for that. The foundation of this church is Jesus and the Word of God written in his holy scriptures. That's the foundation. That's it. And we have to remember today, as long as we have that, our structure can stand. And if you don't know Jesus, the structure, when you get Jesus, what happens? He rebuilds us, right? We are new creations. How many of you today have been built new by Jesus? He's redeemed your life. Yep. Or you've maybe even fallen for a while, and you know, and you've walked into sin, and you're like, whoop, I've got to come back to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He brought you back in, and he said, my son, my daughter, come on, don't sin anymore. And he rebuilds your life step by step. We know that the cornerstone for our society is Jesus, and there is no other. And today I just want to remind us, as just as your pastor, that today when we go out, Make Jesus a cornerstone in all you do. Make sure he is your firm foundation, whether it's in your marriage, your finances, your relationships with your boss, your coworker, whatever it is, whatever area you go out into, make sure Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the firm foundation. No one comes to salvation except through him. I mean, many of you know this, and we're preaching to the choir, but I just want to encourage today that you need to go out and proclaim. The church, we were given the opportunity to go out and be ambassadors. Go out and proclaim the strong cornerstone. The strong cornerstone that keeps us. I if you remember, there was a song I remember learning in Vacation Bible School. Remember this song? The rain came down and the floods came up, right? You know, and it blew and everything happened, but the house on the rock stayed strong. That's it. Thank you. Yep, stayed strong. Stayed firm, strong. Yeah, I forget the exact. I remember singing that in Vacation Bible School. Church, the rains are going to fall on us today. The floods are going to come. But stand firm on the cornerstone. Jesus has got your back. If you can use that euphemism from the street language, he's got your back. You're good. And if we stay on the cornerstone, no matter what faces this church, whether good times, bad times, whatever comes in your life, good health, bad health, whatever you're facing today, I just want to remind us today, Jesus is strong in your life. Rest on him. Roxanne, I remember this morning, we were thanking God that today the house is going to be sold in 2 weeks. Woohoo. Yes. We've seen ups and downs in people's lives, but Roxanne, I could say you've stayed strong in Jesus, right? Ron, I know a man with cancer. You stayed strong in Jesus, right? Man, we were praying for you, man, anointing you with oil, that God would heal you of cancer. Man, you're here today. God's faithful and true. He's used doctors. He used his spirit, right? Folks, we're going to go through things. I'm going to encourage you, stand firm. Be that testimony. Don't take the cornerstone out and think, well, it's, Jesus, I don't know if he's working, but if I insert, you know, A, B, C, D, X, Y, and Z, then I'm going to be okay. No, don't pick up another cornerstone other than Jesus today. Now, I know this isn't revolutionary, it's simple, but church, there's too many people falling away. There's too many churches that are being shaken and disintegrating and just falling apart, closing down because Jesus is no longer the focus. And so here's what I want to do. I just want to pray for you today that this week that you would make Jesus your cornerstone and that you would rely on him, that you'd trust in him for those impossibilities in your workplace or those jobs. Steve, you reminded me this morning that God, it's in his strength. He goes ahead of us. It's in him that we rely. In him we move and breathe and have everything. It's not our strength. He is the firm foundation, the cornerstone to take care of everything we need. So I just want to leave you with that here. I've got to actually leave here early right now because it's our state pastor's convention for the Assemblies of God, so I've got to get out of here to catch my ride. But I just want to leave us with just a simple message. Christ is the cornerstone, and we won't be shaken. No matter what comes our way. So let's pray. Let's pray, church. Father, we come before you and we say thank you. God, we know this is nothing new for God, for you have been the foundation of this world forever. And Jesus, we say thank you that you've been that cornerstone in our life. And God, we pray for the one in our families, the one in our jobs, our coworkers, our extended family, or our neighbors that don't know you, that you're not the cornerstone of their life. Jesus, we come before you right now. We ask for that one person. That God, they would know you. God, they would encounter you. That Jesus, that you would be the missing piece, the piece that would solve everything, that would be everything in their life. God, we pray that they would not turn to anything else, but turn to you and to your spirit as you draw them to you. God, I pray for our church here, for everyone listening today, that God, they would stand firm on you, Jesus, the rock of ages, the sure foundation. God, I pray that as we go out today in our jobs and go out amongst our business and doing our business this week, God, that you would remind us that you're faithful and true. God, I ask for miracles. God, I ask for divine appointments. I ask for your power of your spirit to show up in every person's life here, God, that you would confirm that you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, that God, you are the solid one, that God, you're the chain breaker, the miracle worker, God. God, I pray that you would just, God, overwhelm us with your comforting spirit and your power and your might. And I pray that, God, when we are shaken this week, that, God, as Ephesians 6 says, that we would stand firm with the belt of truth, that Jesus, you're our rock, and that, God, our feet are planted on solid ground, and that you're faithful and true, God, to be with us. God, thank you, God, for what you're doing today. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. Go with us this week. And, God, we just pray for our families and our church and our government, that, God, you would be reinstituted, that, God, you would be faithfully uplifted and proclaimed in all these areas. And Jesus, we pray this on your strong and mighty name. Amen and amen. All right, church, we love you.